Okay, we're up to Shmuel Beis Perek Chaf, and in Perek Chaf, we are now in the post-Avshalom world, and we have the next rebellion against David HaMelech, and that is the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri. After the end of the previous Perek, David HaMelech is back in Yerushalayim with the Shvatim all supporting him, though there was a little difference of opinion at the end of that parak, which we'll have to get back to. But an Ishbelial, an evil person, stands up named Sheva ben Bichri, and he is from Shevet Binyamin. He blows shofar and says, who's David HaMelech? Who is Ben Yishai? Right? We don't have anything to say nice about him, and everybody should leave him and follow me. So what happens? Everybody, much of Am Yisrael, much of the Shvatim, follow Sheva ben Bichri. Amazingly, after everything that they've been through with David, they turn around. But Ish Yehuda dafku b'malka. But obviously, Sheva Yehuda stays with their king min Hayardim v'ad Yerushalayim, all the way to David. And David goes back to his Yerushalayim. And before he takes care of this rebellion, stuck in there is that he takes his the ten pilagshim that were violated by Avshalom, and he takes care of them, and he feeds them, and he makes sure they're all they have everything they need, but he does not live with them. He's not with them, and they are left as almanas chayas, alive widows, as the pasuk calls, until their death, because David HaMelech did not go back to them. V'yomer HaMelech al Amasa, the king says to Amasa, who the one that he wants to be take charge instead of Yoav. Remember, Amasa was over with Avshalom, but Amasa comes over and David says to him, gather for me the troops and you're going to go fight Sheva ben Bichri. He gives him 3 days and he does not come back after 3 days. So David says, okay, he goes to Avishai, right, Ben Sruya, one of his three nephews, says, Alta Yera Lano Sheva ben Bichri, please, you got to go take care of Sheva ben Bichri. He could be worse than Avshalom. So he goes and Yoav, his brother, also comes along with him, and the crazy, the place that they all go fight out of Yerushalayim, they go find Sheva ben Bichri. Along the way, we have the next tragic story. Yoav meets Amasa and tricks him, says, how are you? He pretends to give him a hug, but instead of giving him a hug, he stabs him to death right on the road, and he dies right there. All of a sudden, people are on the road going towards Sheva ben Bichri, and they keep passing Amasa, who's lying on the floor, wallowing in his blood. And they can't move, and they're paralyzed. So quickly, one of Yoav's men moves into the side, covers him up, and says, let's go, we have to go to Sheva ben Bichri. And that's what they do. They surround the city where Sheva ben Bichri is hiding, Avela, Beis Macha, and they are about to take care and destroy the entire city. They start knocking down the walls. All of a sudden, a woman, a wise woman from the city, calls out and says, Yoav, is that you? Yes, it's me. What would you like? He says, come to me. I want to talk to you. So what do you want to talk about? He says, we are B'Shalom. You didn't ask for Shalom. You didn't ask us anything. You just started fighting against us. So he says, okay, what do you want? So she says, well, what do you want? So he says, well, Sheva ben Bichri is hiding in there, and he's trying to rebel against David HaMelech. And she says, if we get you Sheva ben Bichri, would you leave us alone? He says, sure. And the next moment, she goes back to talk to the people in her city, and a few moments later, they throw the head of Sheva ben Bichri over the wall, and that is the end of Sheva ben Bichri. And Yoav then blows shofar, and everybody goes home, and Yoav goes back to Yerushalayim to David HaMelech. At the end of the parak, we have again a list of the appointments of David, his cabinet, as we had a couple of prakim ago. Yoav, Binayahu, and the Tzaduk and Avyata, the Kohanim Gedolim, and all the others in his cabinet. So that is the parak that we have, the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri, following on the heels of the rebellion of Avshalom. So now let's go back to the beginning of the parak. The parak starts off with a vav, which is interesting. Visham nikra, a vav ha-chibur. The Mefarshim explained, because Pashas is related to the end of the previous parak. The Abarbanel says, remember that there was a fight amongst the Shvatim. The 10 Shvatim say to Sheva Yehuda, what do you mean? You weren't here first. We were the ones that first brought David back. And they say, no, but we're his Shevet. We're 10, you're 1. And there's a fight. And David doesn't say a word. Why doesn't David say a word? Maybe this alienated some of the Shvatim, and that's why it was so easy for them to follow Sheva ben Bichri. And he was from Binyamin. He obviously still felt that David stole the Malchus, but says the Abarbanel, that's the Vav. Kasher Ro, Sheva ben Bichri, B'Shevet Binyamin, M'Shevet Binyamin, Shaya HaMelech Shosek, V'lo Heshev Dvarim, Lo L'Bnei Yehuda, V'lo L'Bnei Yisrael, Ime Yosef, Humi Mishpachas, Sheva Binyamin, Nechlo, Im B'Nei Yehuda. So he said, he's going to take advantage, and he started building up the troops to have the next rebellion. So Visham Nikra Ish Belial, there was an evil man, Belial. The Mesudas David says, whenever Belial is used, Beliol, without an ol, without ol Shamayim. Rotzalom a Rasha, he was a Rasha, and his name was Sheva ben Bichri Ishimini. He was from Binyamin, and he was an Ish Belial. The Midrashim are plentiful with all the kfira of Sheva ben Bichri. He rejected many things. He rejected Torah. He rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He rejected a lot. The Midrashim and the Gemaras all talk about it. There isn't even a fascinating Gemara in Sanhedrin where the Gemara says, it's the same person, who Sheva ben Bichri. Sanhedrin, Kuf Aleph Amid Beis. The same person, it was Yeravam ben Nevat, the father of Yeravam, who we'll have to get to, Be'ez Hashem, in the future, who Micha, the Pesel Micha, from the end of Sefer Shoftim, the one who set up the alternate Mikdash up north, and had the Pesel, who Sheva ben Bichri. Right, these are all the same person. His real name was Sheva ben Bichri, and he lived till now, and came up in all of these tragic stories in Klal Yisrael's history. So who Sheva ben Bichri Ishimini, Vayiska Bashofer, he blows shofar. Why does he blow shofar? Maybe a symbol of Malchus. Vayomer, Ein lanu chelek b'David, v'lo nachla lanu b'ben Yishai, Ish v'ohalav Yisrael. Every phrase here is crucial. We don't have a chelek with David, we don't have a chelek with ben Yishai, Ish lo ohalav Yisrael. So we'll start with the end. Ishla Ohalav, the Mefarshim quote that this is one of the 18 places of something called Tikkun Sofrim, which means, it says one thing, but really it means something on a deeper level. La Ohalav, everyone go to their tent, but it also can be read to their gods. Everybody go to your gods, and that's what he was saying, that forget David, forget Mashiach, and forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what the Mefarshim explained. But what's the double lashon of I'm not interested in David or Ben Yishai? So the Brisker Rav writes in more than one place, the Rinas Yitzchak quotes it here too, that really there are two Bechiros. There's Bechiras David and Bechiras Ben Yishai. Remember we discussed the Midrashim that maybe earlier Eliav, David's older brother, would have been Melech HaMashiach, but he had an anger issue, and therefore he lost it, was taken from him, and given to David. So based on Psukim and Divrei Hayam, and Brisker Rav says, there was Mitchilo Haisa Bechira al Ben Yishai, Rak Da'achar Kach Livchar David Mi Beis Yishai Lios Lo HaMalucha. And that's why Sheva Ben Bichri is rejecting both of those Bechiros. There's the Bechira of David, and there's Bechira Ben Yishai. The Rinas Yitzchak quotes this and says, maybe there's a third Bechira that really you could talk about. Sheva Yehuda. There's Yehuda and Ben Yishai and David. And the only problem then is that if he's not rejecting the Shevet Yehuda, then how could he be the king? Right, he's from Binyamin. So the Pasuk doesn't say anything about rejecting the Bechira of Yehuda. That's a Tzarechian. Maybe it's similar to how Shaul was king, along with Yehuda. But that was that's a question. That's the double lashon, possibly, in the Pasuk of I don't have a chelik in David, I don't have a chelik in Ben Yishai. Another pshat could be, why does he say David? And then he even says Ben Yishai, because he doesn't even want to say his name. There are many Mefarshim, the Ben Yehoyada, and others point out that if you can't say somebody's name, that's a reflection that you totally disregard them and don't look at them as a human being. It's just totally like an animal. Can't even say his name. That's why he says Ben Yishai. And we spoke about this at length earlier in Shmuel Aleph, in the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh, when Shaul HaMelech can't say David. He keeps saying, where's Ben Yishai, where's Ben Yishai? And Yehonasan, his son, keeps answering him, David, David, David. Because that is, again, another example where you can't say a name. When you say a name, that already symbolizes that you're machshiv, the person. Rashi mentions this implicitly in Parsha Shlach, when the Pasuk says that, Vayahas Kalev Esam El Moshe. When Kalev silenced the Am and the Meraglim about Moshe. What do you mean he silenced them? So Rashi says that he got up on a chair and said, do you know what a Ben Amram has done for us? And they said, yeah, what has he done for us? And they thought he was going to say something bad, and really he was going to say something good. Why did they think he was saying something bad? Because you're medayik in the language of Rashi. Do you know what Ben Amram did for us? He didn't say Moshe's name. He said Ben Amram. That gives over the impression that he's going to say something negative, because he doesn't say his real name. And that's why they thought they were drawn to Kalev, because they thought he was going to say something negative. And this is also the pshat given in the Haggadah by some, what the difference is between the Rasha and the Chacham. They both say Lachem and Eschem. They both leave themselves out. But the difference is that the Chacham at least mentions HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Mohaedis v'achukim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem Hashem, and he also says Elokeinu. But that is another pshat of what Sheva ben Bichri is doing here. He gets to the stage where he can't even say David's name. It says Ben Yishai. So So all of Am Yisrael go after David, go away from David. May Acharei David. And again, it's connected, it's pointed out to the end of the previous parak. David didn't stand up for them. Acharei Sheva ben Bichri. V'ish Yehuda davku b'malkam, but Sheva Yehuda stuck with their king, min hayardim ad Yerushalayim. And what's the first thing that David does as a response? He goes and he acts with the Pilagshim. David al Beso Yerushalayim, and he takes the 10 Pilagshim that were violated, and he gives them food. He puts them in a bayis l'mishmeres, and he doesn't live with them. The question is, why not? So there are, there's a machlokas in the Yerushalmi. The Radak here quotes the Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin. Matudeus, some say that Me'ikar Hadin, these women were mutter to David. They were raped. Remember, Nanas is not, he's not a Kohen, right? Nanas is Muteres Labailov. Assuming that a Pilegesh is somewhat of a husband. But the Me'ikar Hadin, they were mutter. But David HaMelech wanted to go above and beyond as a siman of tshuva. Siman of tshuva, that he went, acted inappropriately with Batsheva, so now he's going to the other extreme. And the Yerushalmi even says that he made them beautiful. He wanted to be in the same position to create this, the situation of tshuva gemura. He made the, gave them makeup and jewelry and everything, and he looked at them every day, and he said to his Yetzirah, V'omer li Yetzirah, ta'avata davar ha'asur l'cha, chayecha sha'ani mat'ivcha davar ha'mutter l'cha. I will be mat'iv. I will stay away from something that is mutter to you. That's one day that really was mutter, but he went above it and beyond. The Rabbeinu Yonah talks about this also in Shari Tshuva, in the first Shar. B'chol yom hayadavid mitzave lehetivis roshan v'nosen tamrukim l'kashton k'dei lahatzik ta'tavaso ulachnia kasha yichbosh yisro behed. It's a little difficult, though. He's taking it out on them. If they were mutter, they're never allowed to marry anybody else. So he's creating Tshuva Gemura just for his own. So a little tzarachian, according to that pshat. But the other day of the Yerushalmi is that they were asuras to him. They were asuras. Because Avshalom was a hedyot, the Yerushalmi uses a lashon. If a hedyot, who didn't have the status of the king, and they lived with the king's wife, so that's a problem. Umakli hedyot, says the Yerushalmi. Shenish tamish bo, hedyot, asur lamelech lishtamish bo. If a kli hedyot, that a hedyot used, a wife that a king cannot marry, so surely, hamelech, Eishes Melech, Shenish Tamish Bohem, Hedyot, Eidodinji Melech, Asur L'Shamish Bohem, and therefore they were Me'ikar Adin Asur. So it's 2 days in the Yerushalmi. So the Rishonim discussed in the first parak in Gittin, Tosfos discusses, does a Pilegesh have the same rules as a regular wife? Right, a Pilegesh Zinsa, a Pilegesh Nansa. Right, is it the same? Maybe it's a Machlokes, what a Pilegesh is. Ksuba, Kiddushin, discussion. Rambam, only for a king. Many discuss this. Why is this stuck in here? Dafka now? The first thing David does before he quelches the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri, why does he do this now? So the Malbim says, maybe it's to show, he wanted to show everybody that Avshalom was a hedyot. By not living with these people, they're like, oh, he wasn't. And that's why it shows David's stature, right? That's why he did this. And therefore, it's to also instill fear into Sheva ben Bichri. Laharos Avshalom ha'ilo din hedyot, ki eich, he's going to do the same thing. He took care of Avshalom, and he's going to take care of them. Take care of them. Others suggest that Mishpat Zozov says maybe David wanted to be Makadesh himself in some way before he went out to victory to get some zchuyos, and that's why he did this, to complete the tshuva that this was all part of. So after doing this, the king says to Amasa, Hazek li yasish Yehuda shloshes yamim, go bring me the people from Yehuda 3 days, and then come here. After 3 days, he does not come. Vayocher min hamoed asher ya'ado. He's late. Why is he late? Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf mem tes, he found them all learning Torah. He found all that I'm learning. And just like we learned in Sefer Yehoshua, right? The Malach was mad at Yehoshua for not learning B'shas Mochama. So Amasa felt that he wasn't allowed to stop them from learning. Right? Says the El Gemara, Mem Tes Amad Aleph, Yerem Elech Lamasa, Azekli Yisiz Yudah Shalosh Yomim, and he found them a Yocher, Amalei Amasa, Achin Verakin Darash, Ashkachinu De Pasach Lubim Mesechta. He found that they were learning. I says, Kol Isha Shoyamer Espicha, what about Morad B'Malchus? Yochol Afil Divrei Torah, even if somebody's learning, Tamalomar Rak. Rak Chazak Ve'emot. So Rak is to exclude, and it must be that in this context, I'm not supposed to stop them learning. And this is where the Rambam gets a halacha from. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim writes in Perek Gimel, HaMevatel Gzeres HaMelech, Bishvil Shenis Asek B'mitzvos. If somebody is mevatel what he's told to do by a king, because he's involved in a mitzvah, Afilu B'mitzvah Kala, Hareza Patur. Even for a light mitzvah, he is not a Morad B'malchus. Why? Divrei Harav V'Divrei HaEved, Divrei HaRav Kodman, the Rambam coins a term. If the Rav, meaning Hashem, tells you to do something, and the king, who is the servant of Hashem, tells you to do something, Divrei HaRav Kodman, the answer of Chomer, surely if the king tells you to be Mevatel HaMitzvah, says the Kesef Mishnah, say the Mefarshim, the source is Amasa, right here. The source is that he did not stop them from learning. And there are other pshatim that it wasn't just learning, it was learning of all of Klal Yisrael, and it was learning of Rebbeim and Talmidim together. But either way, Yoav did not agree. As we know what happened, Yoav felt, the Gemara says there, that he was a Morad B'Malchus. No excuses! David asked you to bring back people to fight Sheva ben Bichri, and you didn't bring it back, so that's your fault. So, V'yomer David al Avishai, but because Amasa didn't come back, so David says to Avishai, again, he doesn't talk to Yoav. Because he feels he's against Yoav right now. If you don't get Sheva ben Bichri, he's going to be worse than Avshalom. Why worse? That Pashas is because Avshalom at least was his son. According to the Abar Benel, we mentioned he never wanted to kill him. So this is his son. This is not his son. And maybe he would learn from the mistakes that Avshalom made. So quickly, says David, take all the servants, go find him, before he can put himself into a place where he will be protected. Vayetzu achrav anshe Yoav, and the people of Yoav also went, va'krasi, va'plasi, v'chalagiborim, right, the Gemara talks about what exactly are krasi and plasi, pashas their swordsmen, vayetzu miyushalayim lertof achre sheva ben bichri, and they went to follow. On the way, here we go, Yoav has a sword, and Yoav somehow, the pasuk describes, the sword is not in its normal spot. It's not just in the sheath next to him, but it's hanging horizontally in front of him, and it falls down. It seems like Yoav wanted it to fall down, and he picks it up and puts it very close to his body so that Amasa does not know and won't suspect anything. Vayomer Yoav l'Amasa, shalom ata achi. He says to him, how are you, achi? Vatochez yad yamin Yoav bizman Bizkana Amasa Linshoklo. And he takes with his right hand, which is usually the one that holds the sword, he takes Amasa's beard as if to give him a kiss. Amasa doesn't realize, and all of a sudden Yoav kills him. Vayakeo Bayala Chomesh, Vayishbok Meyav Artsa, Oi, Veloshanalo, Vayam. He doesn't even have to spear him twice. The first one, Avshalom, many spears, and he still wasn't dead. Here, one spear, and his insides spill out, and very gory described, Vayama said he dies. The Radak says, what was the root? Okay, Morad B'Malchus. He thought he was a Morad B'Malchus. But the Radak says, this is Kina. He was upset that David appointed Amasa as the next star general. He felt that it was a lack of loyalty. He felt that he was the one. Kina, Vatayvet, Vahakovet, Motsinas, Adam, and Ha'olam. And that's exactly what happened to Yoav here. The Yoav, Avishai, Achiv, Radav, Achishev, and Michri. And then Yoav and Avishai continue. They took care of Amasa. Now they go after Sheva ben Bichri. They're loyal. They're loyal to David. They won't do exactly what he says, right? With Avshalom and now with Amasa. But every time people passed Amasa is lying there on the floor, Mizgol el Badam, Betoch HaMesila on the road. They couldn't. They were paralyzed because they realized this is a second time that Yoav did this. So what happened? Somebody took a beged and covered up Amasa so that they could continue going towards Sheva ben Bichri. So Vayavar b'chol Shifte Yisrael, Pasuk Yudalit, he passed through all Shifte Yisrael. Rashi says this was Sheva ben Bichri. Radak says this is talking about Yoav. But either way, they end up at a city of Vela, Beis Ma'acha. And this city is surrounded, and they start knocking down the walls to get into the city. Vatikra Yishach HaChama Menair, Pasuk Tezayin, a wise woman calls out from the city. Who was this wise woman? There's a medrash that says this was Serach Bas Asher. She's very, very old. The Barbanel says if it's really her, she was over 680 years old. Very old. The Radak says, Al Pi Pashtus, it can't be her. Tema, that she was Marach Yamim so long. But either way, says Rashi, the name of the Medrash, Serach Bas Asher Ha'isa. And she says, I spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. And I remember Moshe Rabbeinu telling us, you always ask for peace first. You don't just start fighting. And that's what she says to him. Shimu, Shimu. Imrunel Yoav Kravena. Call Yoav here. Vadabar Elech, I want to talk to him. Vayikra Veleh goes close. Vatomer Isha Ata Yoav. Are you Yoav Ayomer Ani? He says, yeah. He says, yeah. Shema Divrei Amasecha. Listen. Yidaber Yidabru Barishonah Lemar. Sha'ol Yishalu. Ba'avel. V'cheni Tamu, did you ask us about peace? Did you ask us that we would have obliged? Anochi Shalume Emune Yisrael. Right? I believe. Right? This is in contrast to Sheva Ben Bichri. Right? You're trying to wipe out a city. What are you doing? Yoav answers in Pasuk Chafalav. Chalila Chalila Li. Whoa, no, far be it from me. And the Gemara says, Chalila from me, Chalila from David, im avala v'im ashchis. I am not interested in wiping out any city. Lochein adavar, no. This one man we're looking for. Ki ish mehar Ephraim, Sheva ben Bichri shmo. There's a man, Sheva ben Bichri, nasa yado b'melech b'David. Again, Yoav sounds like he's loyal. Right? He's raised his hand against David. Tnu oso levado, give him to us, ve'elcha me'alair, and then we'll leave. And the woman says, Hine rosho mushlach elecha barachoma. Okay, give me a minute and you'll have his head. And that's exactly what happens. The pasuk says she spoke to the city b'chach masa. She spoke to the people of the city with her wisdom. What does that mean? That she, maybe they didn't want to give him up, and she spoke and she convinced them, and in that way she killed Sheva ben Bichri and Yoav lo shofar, and everybody leaves. There is a major halachic discussion based on this story, based on a Tosefta and a Yerushalmi in Shrumos based on this story. I'll read it to you from the Rambam. The Rambam quotes this in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, quotes the Yerushalmi. The question is, if a nation surrounds a city and says, give us one of you, or we're going to kill all of you, are you allowed to give up anybody? So the halacha is, says Yerushalmi, no. Im Amrulam Goyim, this is Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, Parakei. If the Goyim say, "Tnu lanu echad mikem v'nargenu," give us one of you, we're going to kill you. V'im lav naro kolchem, and if not, we're going to kill all of you. The halacha is you can't give anybody up. Yehargu kulam v'yimasru lahem nefesh achas miYisrael. But what if they single out one person? If they say, "Give us so and so, or we are going to kill you." Im yichadu lahem v'amru tnu lanu ploni o naragat kolchem. Give us so and so, or we're going to kill you. So then the Yerushalmi and the Rambam says that's allowed. But then there's a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Is it allowed for any person that's singled out? That's Rabbi Yochanan. If they single out any person, you're allowed to give that person because he's already singled out. Or is it only if they single somebody out who's chayiv misa already, like Sheva ben Bichri? That's what Reish Lakish says, and that's what the Rambam paskins. Im hayim mechuyiv misa, kisheva ben Bichri, yitnu oso lahem. Vein moran kein lachadchila. But you don't paskin this way, lachadchila. What does lachadchila mean? Hopefully it should never come up. What? But what's the lachadchila? Not to give anybody? Unclear exactly what that line of the Rambam means, but either way, the Kesef Mishnah points out here, even though usually Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, but the Rambam here is Machmir. The Rambam says when it comes to suffering the fachashos lachumra, it's suffering the fachashos for this guy. It's more machmir for the rest of the city, but suffering the fachashos lachumra, and therefore you don't give anybody unless they are chayiv. Thus they are chayiv misa. Right? That is a big discussion. Do we other Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Yochanan? The Rambam paskin like one. The Rambam Yeradeya and Kufnun Zion quotes both deis in the Machlokas, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish Machlokas Rishonim. But either way, this is a huge topic. There's a Tosfos, there's a Rambam. Exactly how to understand that Yerushalmi? Okay, but we touched on it at least. So the parak ends off after Sheva ben Bichri is taken care of, listing off all of the cabinet of David HaMelech. Why? The Radak says, because it's as if he's starting again. This is the next time. Just like the first time, where all of Klal Yisrael are under David, so it lists off his cabinet again. The Malbim goes through, though, each one. He says there's a different order in terms of how they're listed here. Each one, there's a reason. What's the first one? Yoav? El Kalasava. Yoav is the head of the army. Why does it say that again? Because David didn't want him. David wanted Amasa. But once Amasa was killed by Yoav, and Yoav came back, and Am Yisrael saw Yoav as a great warrior. So that's why David couldn't not have him. And that's why the Malbim says, it says, Yoav El Kol HaTzava Yisrael. Because Yisrael was behind him, so he couldn't switch anybody. Ubinaya ben Yehoyada. Binaya, David wanted him to be the next in choice instead of Yoav, but he couldn't do it. Because of Yoav's great views in the eyes of the people. So he stayed a la Grace Villa Placi. And then Adoram Alamas, why that? David realizes that if he doesn't act as a king and show he's in charge, there could be another rebellion. So he starts collecting taxes from them, right? To make him realize that this is I'm for real. And then it says the Mazkir and the Sofer, says the Malbim, because Avshalom spread all these nasty rumors that David's court wasn't honest, see, Dafka keeps the people that were there from before to make sure everybody realizes that they were honest. Tzadok v'Avyatar, Kohanim, they are the Kohanim. Are they both the Kohanim Gedolim? The Rina Sisak discusses. You can only have one Kohen Gadol. How could you have two Kohanim Gedolim? So one must have been, they both must have had the status of Kohen Gadol, but only one of them actually served as the Kohen Gadol. You have to say there are different elements of being the Kohen Gadol. And the parak ends off mentioning Ira Hayairi was a Kohen to David. Either, what is a Kohen? Does it literally mean Kohen? The Gemara talks about that he was the Kohen that David gave his Manas Kahuna to. Or the Radak says, maybe it just means advisor. Either way, this takes care of the stories of Shmuel Beis. What's left in the last four Prakim are other stories that happened throughout David's lifetime that are all put together here at the end of the Sefer. Okay, we'll stop here.